Greetings, fellow nerds and geeks. Why don't you pull yourself up a chair, grab yourself a beverage, and prepare to enjoy a geek-tastic conversation. Welcome to the Geekeasy.
Welcome to another installment of the Geekeasy podcast. I am Pixel Dan.
I'm Jonathan Leonard.
What's up, John?
So much stuff.
We have so much stuff to talk about.
We just watched some Kimmel.
We did just watch some Kimmel right before we turned this podcast on.
Exactly.
Right before.
So you can probably guess what day we're doing the recording. Because the big Kimmel news that just dropped was the Batman versus Superman trailer.
Yes.
So we've seen it twice.
We've watched it twice. That's right.
We're ready to talk about it soon.
Well, that is exactly what we're going to do. I think that is the best place to start this
off.
Well,
let's dive right in.
Just do it. Let's jump right in, because this is what everybody wants to hear us talk about.
I hate
it. Right? Jonathan hates it.
I didn't hate it. Actually, I liked it quite a bit.
Right?
A lot more than I thought I would.
Let's just say that right away. It was a good trailer.
Yeah, for sure.
And it looks like everything that I saw in this trailer definitely kind of raises the bar for me a little bit. It like kind of raises my spirits about the whole thing, because everything looks pretty darn good in this trailer.
Looks very entertaining.
It feels a lot more. I mean, that first trailer, there was a lot of speculation going on there too, and it was real easy to kind of nitpick things and stuff and try to decide what direction it was going. This trailer, of course, being the long, full, I assume, final trailer, kind of lays it out a little bit better for us.
I think you're right, exactly right. That's the weird thing with the first one that came out, though, because it was like 3 minutes long. It was a long trailer.
That's right,
it was a long teaser.
Yeah.
Because it didn't tell you anything, really.
Right.
It just kept showing you more and more quick scenes and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
This one actually gives you an idea. I mean, I can't say storyline necessarily, because the storyline is Batman and Superman meet and don't like each other.
Right.
But you get a little bit more of the Clark and Bruce interaction at the beginning.
It looks like a movie now.
Exactly.
It looks like a movie.
You got characters.
Yeah.
You have people who show up unexpectedly. You have Lex Luthor in the mix, mucking things up.
Which, by the way, wow. I feel like that right there already, I feel like, is something that was seriously missing from the other trailers. I mean, I understand that this movie is Batman versus Superman, so all the teasers, they were just showing us the cool Batman and Superman fighting stuff. But seeing Lex in this trailer, actually seeing Eisenberg being Lex Luthor, brings so much character that has been missing from this void of enthusiasm in these movies. You know what I mean? Like Lex looks awesome.
Yeah, he
already
looks like a lot of fun.
Already.
Every time they bring something new out about Eisenberg, I get more and more excited about that take on the character. Which, I mean, we'll see. Who knows? Could be the best part of the movie. Could be the worst.
Yeah. You never know.
I've liked most of the cinematic Lexes. I think the Smallville one's probably been one of my favorites so far, even though that story was so bonkers. But the guy playing Lex was so good.
Yeah, he was.
In that show, Rosenbaum. It seems like this one's probably going to be a slightly different take than you're used to, but I'm really looking forward to seeing what they do with it.
I don't mind them
changing stuff here and there, as long as it's good.
Well, yeah, and we always kind of say that, too. Like, I understand some things have to be a little different for movies, and I'm totally fine with that, as long as they are done well and it's entertaining and it makes sense for the story
that they're telling.
And you try to keep the spirit of what you're doing. Exactly. So his characteristics look good. I was already telling you that one of my weird nitpicks, I don't understand why Lex in movies always has to have hair. It's like a weird movie thing that they do with him.
Every time.
They're always like, well, if we're going to bring Lex in a movie, we have to put hair on his head for some weird reason. And I just don't get that. So I hope we see him bald at some point.
Yeah.
I think there was pictures of him.
Yeah, there
was
a bunch of pictures of Jesse Eisenberg with a shaved head. So everybody assumed it was for Batman and Superman.
Yeah.
But like you said, also, most of the Lexes throughout the cinema history have had hair at some point. But they've also been bald at some point.
Yeah.
I think, as I remember, Kevin Spacey's the only one that pops into head that was pretty much bald the entire time. And even them, I think they showed some wigs around. I just don't think he was ever wearing them in Superman Returns.
Right.
But he was a direct continuation of the Gene Hackman Lex Luthor, more or less.
Exactly.
But you remember him, he did the same thing. He had hair for most of that movie, and then at some point he just took it off because it was just a wig.
Right.
So there's no reason to assume that he won't be bald because he's not bald in the trailer. It's just weird, like you said, that they go so far out of their way to do that.
To do, just in every movie, they're like, Lex needs hair. It could be just a wig, but, you know, he's got to have hair. Why? Yeah. Okay, now, whatever.
It, at least in this case, it's younger Lex.
Yeah,
and
that's
true. And I do think a lot of the, like, the stories, and honestly, the Superman canon's changed so many times, I can't always remember which is official and
younger,
which isn't.
Younger Lex in Smallville is bald, so, right?
He started with
he
hair.
He started with hair. Yeah. You're right. I mean, and it... I guess it could always, well, I mean, younger Lex is a good reason for it, but it could always be one of those things, too, where they are just paying homage to older Superman movies by doing it, and, you know, whatever.
Either way,
I'm fine with
that. It's not going to make or break the character. It's just interesting, like you said.
Right. So that whole opening scene in the trailer is a pretty great one, because it looks like it's some sort of red carpet event of some sort, because Bruce Wayne shows up and Clark Kent is there covering it as a reporter. And it is kind of funny, because he does make that comment, like, who's that? Because, you know, everybody, like, flocks around Bruce Wayne's car, and he's trying to figure out what's going on, and he says, who's that? And one of the other guys says, you must be new here.
Yeah. Which on the one hand, is funny, because at least they point it out in the trailer.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But on the other hand, you're a top-notch reporter. You should probably know who Bruce Wayne is.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Exactly. But their confrontation right there is actually pretty great, because... you know, you're seeing them as Bruce Wayne and Clark Kent already having issues with Superman and Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of cool. Like, the whole scene with them kind of going back and forth about why Batman's bad for the city and why Superman's bad for the world and everything. And Superman even makes that comment about how maybe it's the Gotham in me, but I just have a bad history of clowns and silly outfits or something that. And I love that. Like, what a great line for Bruce to say.
Yep.
So that right there was enough to go, okay, this is looking pretty good.
I was like, immediately happy with the intensity that Affleck was putting into it.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because there's a line to draw there. You can't go too far overboard, because then it just seems melodramatic.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, Bruce or Batman, you've got to have an edge to it.
Right.
So you can't tell a whole lot from one scene, but it's one of those things where, like, the introduction to his Bruce, I'm happy with so far.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And we got that same flashback in that whole thing, too. We're seeing Robin's suit with the Joker writing all over it. So this is obviously taking place where Batman has been Batman for a while. He's probably already had many battles with guys like Joker and stuff. If things have happened, like, Robin is probably... I don't know if that's the whole death of Robin thing that they're alluding to right
it
there.
It seems to be.
Yeah.
It has seemed to be since they showed that, because it's an old empty Robin suit with the, you know, the Joker
jokes on you, a Batman, ha ha ha.
Yeah, you know, and all that stuff. I don't have a full and clear understanding of how their plan. I mean, they say that Batman's been Batman forever, which is in direct contradiction to what they originally said.
I know.
Complained about that 100
times. Exactly. Like, we almost have to just look past that
exactly.
at this point. They retconned that.
But then they still do stuff where it's like, you know, Clark Kent meets Bruce Wayne. I don't know why Clark didn't know who Bruce was immediately. I have no idea why Bruce would know who Clark is at all. You know, he's some reporter.
Well, maybe he doesn't know him, though. Maybe he was Clark ran up to ask him questions.
Yeah, but Lex runs up and is like, hey, Bruce Wayne and Clark Kent, you guys are meeting. Like,
but Lex probably knows who Clark is, because Lex is in Metropolis, and you know what I mean? So that might have just been his.
It just made it feel like it was a big deal that they were meeting, and I don't know why from that level it would be. But
it's
what
a big deal to us.
But then when Clark was like, well, what do you think about the Bat Vigilante in Gotham? Is that a question you ask someone if the Bat Vigilante has been in Gotham for 20 years?
That's true.
You know?
Okay, maybe that's a fair point,
too. It's such old news at that point. Like, why are you looking for his opinion on that random thing?
Well, maybe it isn't as old then. I don't know. You're right. It's going to be interesting to see how they play that angle. Like, how long Batman's been around. Is he just a little more of a problem now than he was before? Maybe the whole Robin death thing has sent him over the edge a little bit, and he's a little causing more trouble.
It's one of those things where he was around and disappeared and came back.
Yeah, because of Superman.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
but
I don't know.
Yeah, I guess it's all speculation at this point. We'll find out soon.
Yep.
But you know, the trailer goes into a lot of shots at this point of Batman and Superman basically duking it out with each other. And some of the scenes we've seen in previous trailers, some of them looked like they were new.
Mm-hmm.
All of it cool stuff. I mean, it's just one of those neat things because, first of all, you're watching Superman and Batman fight each other in a movie, and that's pretty special. I mean,
it is.
We never thought we'd see something like that. So that's pretty cool, and all those scenes look great, and I like the way the bat suit looks still. I think the Batmobile mm-hmm. looks awesome. Mm-hmm. Superman's suit is still darker than I would like it to be.
It's so dark.
But I do like that they, you know, the metallics look nice when the light hits it right and stuff. It definitely looks more alien, and that's kind of cool.
Everything about this movie looks super cool right now.
Yeah, for sure.
Like I said, I don't like how dark it is, like you said, especially on the Superman aspect of it. Obviously, the Batman should really be dark, right. And this is sounding more and more like it's pretty much a Batman movie.
Right.
So tonally, that even makes a little bit more sense. I still hope to see Clark in the sunshine a few times.
You know? Absolutely.
We'll see. But other than that, I think everything looks fantastic.
Right.
The action looked great. When he came swooping in the Batwing, and he's just like machine gunning the Jesus,
and you get that great shot of all the bullets just bouncing off of Superman, and then his eyes start glowing red, and it's just like, holy crap, this is amazing.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Now, when do we start speculating about all the plot stuff?
Yeah, well, that's a good point to get into here because. Right before we saw this trailer, there was that little clip that just hit the internet this week. That's all it is just a short scene. And the scene is Batman, like, hung strung up. Mm-hmm. And Superman flies into this bunker where he's being kept. And there's all these military troops that bow down to Superman. And Superman walks up and pulls the cowl off of Batman. Yep. And then that's the end of the scene.
And there's been a couple of scenes throughout some of the other footage that's been let loose where it looks like Batman's in some sort of like desert gear and is fighting a bunch of troops. So it looks like they've got him captured.
Right.
And then Superman swoops down. All these guys bow to him. He comes in and pulls the cowl off. But like there's something weird happening there because
what is that all about?
That can't be Superman.
Right?
That can't be.
You don't think it's Superman?
No, I don't think. And I don't like just throwing random speculation out there, but this is one of those things that just gets my brain kicking for a movie. I throw random speculation out all the time. I don't know why I just said that.
That's what we do on
but
the show.
I don't like being the rumor spreader.
Right.
People, you know, I like looking at it from as grounded of a perspective as I can. But I've heard lots of rumors about some sort of cloning stuff that's going on. They keep showing Zod's body.
Yeah,
that's got to be something that isn't Superman, because there's no way they're gonna make that movie work to a point where Superman has an army of humans,
right? And that's so un-Superman.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
And also, why would he need to pull the cowl off?
Right.
Like, and I guess if he's just doing it just to do it, but he can know who Batman is anytime he wants to. He can just
X-ray vision it.
Mm-hmm. So. What is the purpose of that move? You know?
Unless they do... Well, and he probably would if they're fighting. I think they've always done that kind of like... Superman tries to respect some of those guys, doesn't he? By not X-raying.
Yeah.
Like in the comic books and stuff, he's been like that, right? Like
he
purposely doesn't try to see somebody's identity if it's like a respect kind
so
of thing.
So if he doesn't want to see it, that's fine. But if he does want to see it...
He could.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he doesn't need to walk over there and pull the cowl off. He could just know.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and I'm also trying to think, too, because we have talked about this before, too, how there's supposed to be some sort of tones of Dark Knight Returns and stuff in this movie. And, some of the look and everything of the movie feels like that. But Superman was basically like a military weapon in that story, right? So there was troops
I think
and
he was basically just like a government.
Government,
Like the president or whoever controlled him now.
Right,
like he worked for
exactly.
them. So that's when I think, you know, like whoever was in charge sent Superman to Gotham to get Batman at that point. Right. So it wasn't like he was like... I mean, he was still fully functional mentally and everything. He was just basically like an employee at that point.
Right, gotcha.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's kind of what the troops also kind of make me feel like, too.
Yeah, for sure. It's
so
just, I don't know how they'll get from... Because the tone they set up at the beginning, again, of the trailer, and we're talking about 3 minutes out of probably a two-and-a-half-hour movie.
Yeah.
You know, but they make it sound like, you know, Bruce is going... This guy's terrible for the world, and Clark's going, well, not everybody sees it that way. A lot of people, he's a hero. And they're showing scenes of him being heroic.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce is talking about the fluff pieces from the Daily Planet.
Yeah.
You know, clearly there's a lot of people who are on his side. I don't know how they're going to go from that to he's commanding an army now.
Yeah, I know.
And why he would. Like, none of that seems to feel right. But between, again, the rumors I've heard about them trying to do cloning stuff, and that's why they have Zod's body... And then what we see at the end of the trailer, the big surprise reveal that comes up.
Yeah.
Because lo and behold, everything goes black, and then there's an explosion, and then Doomsday all of a sudden.
Right.
Is I'm gonna throw this out there. I'm getting a call right now from
from our buddy Ryan.
Long-time contributor Ryan. Ryan
just calling us right in the middle of the show. Ryan.
Yeah. So he'll understand when I have to call him back when we're done taping. No big deal.
Yeah. Well, I guess there isn't a confirmation.
Know what? I bet you he just watched the trailer.
Oh, I'm sure that's why he's calling. I'm sure that's why he's calling. We're pretty certain that's Doomsday.
That has
right?
that. Did you? I mean, he was gray. He had the bone chunks, the bone spikes, and everything. There's no way that wasn't Doomsday pops so up. That's my guess. Is Lex is trying to clone Superman, or someone is, and then that's where you get that weird thing with the guy running the army, and somehow something goes wrong, and Doomsday comes out of it. The clone degenerates, or whatever. Or who knows? And then maybe they're mixing like a Bizarro story in with the
Doomsday story. that's kind of weird
something
too.
Like that, but I think I really think that the only thing that makes sense to me from what I know is that speculation that Lex is trying to build himself a Kryptonian, and then we get to the Doomsday idea, which brings in the one big negative in my opinion from the trailer. Why in the world
is it
would
Doomsday?
You open Like, why do you go to Doomsday as your go-to second villain after Zod?
Well, and we've talked about this before, too, especially all the times we talked about Man of Steel and the big fight scene with him and Zod. Because that fight he had with Zod should have been the fight he had with Doomsday.
Yes.
And that should have come much later.
Yeah.
You know, so they opened up these movies with Superman having a Doomsday level battle with Zod, his first villain. So it is almost like, where do you go next? Where do you go from here? So it does seem a little crazy that they would bring in Doomsday next and that they would shoehorn a character in like that in a movie where there's already a Batman and a Wonder Woman
and
possibly
a cyborg
and a Lex Luthor
and a Luthor and
you
an Aquaman
and
maybe a Flash.
There's a lot. That's one thing, and that is, I definitely feel like still the biggest fear I have about this movie is that there is so much that they're trying to put in this one movie. And I'm really worried that that's you know, I don't want it to be like Spider-Man 3 levels of, you know, too much crap going on in
or
one movie, you know,
Batman
what I mean?
And Robin, which is exactly what, like, that's the first thought I had, is they're going to turn like Doomsday into the Bane from Batman and Robin.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
big
see?
Name character that should be important that just sort of shows up in the background. He's going to be the 5-minute final fight. Wonder Woman's kind of come in and whoop up on him. And then
see, that's
Doomsday's
a big,
just done. Like, why would you blow that?
I'm worried about too. I mean, and those are the two perfect movies, too. Spider-Man 3 being the other one because they rushed the Venom thing.
Yep.
Venom should have been a big, major deal. And boom, he was there real quick. And he was at a little fight at the end of the movie. And then it was done and over.
Yep.
I mean, this is like a big deal Spider-Man villain who's a huge fan favorite. And that's all they gave us of him.
Yeah.
And yeah, Bane the same way. Bane is the Doomsday for Batman, you know what I mean? Bane came in and broke Batman's back and put him out of commission, and he was just Poison Ivy's sidekick in that movie. Stupid sidekick.
Yeah.
Which is not Bane at all. He's a very intelligent character.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
So, yeah.
And if you're going to build a Superman Doomsday fight, like, I don't want... I mean, it is 100% clearly established that we're dealing with a new Superman. You just set him up in the first movie.
Right.
He's been Superman for, at most, a couple of years.
Right.
I don't want Doomsday to be one of his first big fights.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Like, I want to save that for a main event.
I mean,
type.
We're just getting Lex in this movie.
Yeah.
His real arch nemesis. But there's so many other places they could
have
gone for,
like,
other villains.
Even if
you
don't want to do
Brainiac
even
or Metallo.
Yeah,
or
even
any
if you don't
want
to do the death of Superman. And even though, like, Metallo would have been a good one.
Yeah.
Like, Brainiac's too big for
Brainiac's
this role.
A big one, too. Yeah,
you know, Metallo would have been decent. They could have just built a fake robot that no one's ever heard of.
Yeah.
You know, or anything.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, Lex himself could just have been the villain and done some kind of crazy thing. I don't know.
Well, if they needed, like, a super-powered thing, though, for to bring everybody together, why not actually clone Zod?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's definitely what they're...
That even would have been better than blowing this giant character. And I don't know what they're going to do, but I can't...
Yeah,
I cannot imagine they're going to drop him in and not destroy him by the end of that movie.
I know, right? Know? Like, he's not... I don't know. It's interesting. Unless they decide to make him, like, the big villain that the Justice League come together to fight in the Justice League movie for some reason. But
that's not... Even that, I mean, that's not, I guess, that's not what Doomsday is. I guess that technically was exactly what Doomsday was when he showed up.
Yeah.
He showed up and whooped up on the Justice League. Yeah. But it wasn't the real Justice League.
it was
Blue Beetle and Booster Gold. Like, it was Guy Gardner. Yeah. It wasn't like Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman, you know?
Yeah, they're definitely, it looks like they're definitely using him as the catalyst to bring them together, yeah. right? Like, they have
The Wonder Woman reveal was pretty cool, or when she showed
that
up.
That was cool.
Yeah.
Well, and that also kind of, we had speculated before that maybe, since Batman had been Batman for a while, he already knew Diana and maybe, you know, made a call to her to come in to help him stop the Superman threat. But this trailer put that, shot that down completely. Because that's a great scene, though. Because Doomsday shows up, well, I don't know if it's the same scene next. It could have been cut that way.
Yeah.
But the way the trailer looked, Doomsday
it looked
showed up.
Good, because she bounced in front of him. Cause yeah. Also, Doomsday has eye and mouth beams. It looked like.
Yeah, he fired beams.
But she, like, he's about to just murder Batman, and she shows up with her shield and blocks the blast.
It.
And then both, you know, Superman and Batman are both standing there like, Superman's like, did you bring her? And Batman's like, I thought you did.
Yeah,
you
I thought
know?
She was with you. Yeah, that was a good scene. Yeah. That was a good scene. So that was kind of a fun reveal, and you know, there's our start right there of bringing the Justice League together. So that's kind of cool. Yeah, that's my only negative. I'm with you. That's my only fear for the movie is that Doomsday is going to be rushed or that they've got too much going on. But that's kind of been our fear from the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, ever since they started talking about all the Justice League characters they're putting into this movie, mm-hmm. it's always been like, oh, guys, you're doing it too fast.
Yeah.
Like, slow down a little bit. But
there's been rumors of Doomsday for a while.
Well, there have
been. Said from the get-go, no, don't.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Yeah.
Please don't.
Well, they are.
I will also say, like, that looked like Doomsday.
Yeah.
I didn't really like it. Now, that was one shot of one scene, so if you actually see a better version of him, he may look super cool.
I'm all right with him, but it would have been cool to see him a little bit more.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I can't say I don't like the look yet, because, again, I saw him in that one scene. So if I see him in more action, he might look awesome.
At least he was recognizable.
Exactly.
I mean, we immediately were like, that's Doomsday, isn't it? You know, like, it's not like we were like, what is this big weird thing? Like, we knew it was Doomsday.
Yeah.
So that's...
He looked better than he did on Smallville.
Oh, my God, yes. For sure. So other than that, though, everything else about this trailer was awesome, and it really, it has me excited. Like,
yeah.
I'm really excited.
Yeah.
And it's just so crazy. Cause,
I
you know,
have to stay hesitant because Man of Steel did the same thing.
I know.
I saw a lot of things that made me cringe, and then the more trailers and stuff that came out, the more I got kind of pumped. Like, okay, this is going to be fine. And then it wasn't. So.
Well, we've been saying from the beginning that we want this to be
a
good
movie. Yeah, I want it to be great.
We really want it to be good. And so I'll just say that this trailer right here is definitely leaning towards the positive direction now. It has me more excited for the movie now rather than dreading a possible nightmare and hoping for the best.
Yep.
Like, now I'm actually like, okay, this is, I'm really excited to see how this turns out.
Yes.
Like, this is looking like it's going to be a lot of fun. So if it's a lot of fun at the very least, like, that's what I want.
Exactly.
I want it to be a fun movie.
Exactly.
So,
and I will say, like I said, a lot of the things I didn't like about Man of Steel, it seems like they are fixing more and more of them from, like, a direct level.
Yeah.
Because one of the biggest things we always complain about, we've been complaining about for years on this show, was all the destruction and the zero accountability for it. Well, it looks like they're at least addressing that.
Yes.
So maybe they'll fix that part.
Well, and that seems to be Batman's biggest beef with Superman, is that, and the fact that he could basically, he even says it in the trailer, right?
He could
like,
burn the whole
you could burn
down.
The whole world down or something like that. Yeah, so.
And he brought the war to us.
Yeah, he brought the war to us.
And they keep showing the scenes from that stuff happening, you know, so.
Yeah.
So if they quote-unquote fix that, cool. And the other thing, one of the other big problems I had with Man of Steel was the tone, because it doesn't fit Superman at all.
Right.
Doesn't look like they're fixing that at all, but if they, it's one of the bright sides of them shifting the focus more to Batman. Because at least if it's mostly a Batman movie with Superman in it, even though that's not what I was hoping it was going to be originally, but if that is what it is, then the tone all of a sudden makes sense.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like, they don't have to change the tone at that point, because that works for a Batman movie.
Yeah.
It just didn't work for a Superman movie.
Exactly. Exactly. So, all right. Well, there we go. Fingers crossed. The trailer looks promising. There was a lot of exciting stuff to see, so... we're getting closer and closer to that movie date. It's crazy, too, because, like, we're starting to see all these insane trailers to get us hyped up for these other movies. We haven't even seen Star Wars yet, okay? You guys got to calm down a little bit, because I'm still on the Star Wars hype train right now.
If I put them on speaker, can the mic pick them up?
We can try it. We're going to do a live call to Ryan.
Yeah.
I like this. This is good. He He's going to be so confused.
If not, we'll just edit this whole section out. No, oh, he's not going to be confused. He asked for this.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me?
Then we just get a voicemail.
He's the one who said, put me on speaker.
Yeah.
And then I get his voicemail.
Absurd. What a jerk face. All right, well, we're going to move on then from that for now. So.
Okay.
So let's go ahead and just, we got a lot of cool things to talk about, and there is another trailer that I know we need to talk about too. So we're going to save that one for the end of the show.
We'll bookend it.
That's right. So let's go ahead and talk more DC. You wanted to bring up that there's a big event coming up in the shows that I still haven't watched.
It's the Flash and Arrow. You're still failing this podcast as we speak.
I know, I'm the worst.
This week, actually, by now, they've both aired. I haven't watched either of them yet.
Okay.
They're doing the big crossover episode. It's just the week after Thanksgiving right now, and so they're doing the... They did the same thing in Flash's first season and Arrow's third season. The shows intertwine every once in a while with, like, a few characters coming over, but about seven or eight episodes in, they did a big... Ollie goes to the Flash's city and has to help him solve something, and then the next week, the Flash shows up in Green Arrow's city and helps him solve something, and they kind of build off of that.
Neat.
And this time, when they do it, it should be pretty close, I believe, to a direct lead-in to Legends of Tomorrow. So this crossover episode isn't just going to be Ollie and Flash hanging out. It's going to be Ollie and Flash and Hawkman and Hawkgirl the Atom and probably Captain Cold and Heatwave and all those guys, I think, are in there.
Potential Justice League characters that won't be in the Justice League movie.
Exactly. we've seen promo pics. And again, the episodes have aired, so a lot of you guys have probably already seen them. I'll see them by tomorrow night, most likely. But there's been all sorts of promos, you know, pictures and stuff like that going around of, like, the entire group, like, kind of together in, like, one big scene. And I know Legends Tomorrow, I think, is starting in, like, January. So it's, with hiatuses coming up, there's not going to be a lot of Flash and Arrow until that happens.
Gotcha.
So this should be kind of the big bring together for it all. So I'm really excited about getting those. It's nice to actually be caught up on that show. So the last few seasons, as they've been coming... I was watching them on Netflix at the end of the season. So I'd see all this new stuff come around. I'm like, that sounds almost kind of cool, but I don't really want to read about it. And now it's like I'm caught up. So every time I see a link, I'm like, ooh, I can click on it freely. This is nice.
Neat.
So it's getting me really juiced up for the fact that this crossover is happening now.
Yeah, I got to get going on these shows. I really do.
They're so good.
I want to watch them really bad.
They're so good.
Well, I should hopefully be able to start getting on them soon. I just finished another show, so we're going to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, which we're about to segue into, I think, real quick, though, before we get off of DC. You watch Supergirl, don't you?
I do watch Supergirl. I'm like an episode behind, but I do like Supergirl.
Digging that?
Oh, yeah. I'm loving it. I think it's a lot of fun so far, and the stuff that they're setting up with it is already really cool. Mm-hmm. How many episodes in are you on that?
I'm caught up. So
okay.
Like six, I think.
So I didn't realize, and it's because I'm not real great with a lot of the DC comics. Like, I know a lot of the DC comic stuff, but not to the extent that I know a lot of the Marvel comics stuff,
like history
and everything. So there's a lot of things that are happening on Supergirl, especially since it's Supergirl. I'm not overly familiar with her and her villains and stuff like that, but I know that there's a lot of crossover with Superman stuff. So it's always fun watching that show and seeing things that happen, and I immediately get on Google on my phone and I start, like, you know, looking up names of characters to see who they are in the comics, and it's always real pleasant when I see that they're real characters and everything, and I make the ties together. So, quick spoiler alert, if you haven't watched the show yet, I did not realize it first because I didn't catch the name until things started happening and I started researching to figure out what was going on. I didn't realize that the head of the military organization, which I can't remember right now. I did not realize that was Cyborg Superman.
Yeah.
Hank Henshaw. Yeah. So, like, I knew that the name Hank Henshaw was a name. You know, it was one of those things I was like, oh, okay, I know that name, but I'm sure we'll figure it out. So then when things started happening and, like, you know, I saw the red eyes and stuff going on, I was like, all right, now I got to figure out what the heck's going on here. So I Googled Hank Henshaw, and I was like, okay, Cyborg Superman. I did not realize that. Yeah. That one was one that was totally over my head. So.
Obviously, they're going like a way different route with some of that stuff because you don't picture Cyborg Superman being what he turns into.
Yeah, yeah.
Superman just doesn't have a big enough part on that show. Right. Who knows? And they're obviously planning something for him now.
Right.
It's not that, so who knows what it is.
Yeah.
But I always... That was one of, when I first got into comics. The first Superman story I read was a four-part crossover over all the Superman titles.
Uh-huh.
And it was Superman and Batman teaming up. I don't even remember what they teamed up with, but at the end, Superman gave Batman some kryptonite. I don't know if that was the first time that ever happened or not. This would have been somewhere around 90, 91, I think, something like that.
Okay, yeah.
But I was already a cool story, and I was hooked. The very next Superman story I read, the standalone one, was the one... with Hank Henshaw, where he basically, the story he follows, he, and forgive my 25-year-old, 30-year-old memory, whatever it is, but he got stuck in a computer somehow and was trying to be, he died, they thought, but his brain really got transferred into the computer and he could bounce from computer to computer. And he was trying to get in contact with his wife, but he ended up just scaring the bejesus out of her.
Oh, yeah.
And Superman had to fight him, but was essentially just fighting every computer because he could move back and forth or whatever. And I don't remember if he decided he needed to get away from his wife or if Superman found a way, but somehow sent him into space. And that was the end of the story. And it was a standalone, a one and done, you know, no big deal. And then years and years later, when all the Death of Superman stuff is going on and they reveal who the Cyborg is, it's like... they say his name, and they kind of tell a little bit of a story. I'm like, I think I've read that, and I had to go and find my old. I'm like, that's like one of the first Superman stories I ever read.
That's neat.
So that's one of those things where I feel like a connection with it. With every time that character comes up, I get happy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ah, cool, Hank Henshaw. You know? Cool. So as soon as they announced him for this show, I was like, oh, that's neat. He's going to be there. But I always assumed he would be like this side background type nerdy scientist character. Yeah. Not running this government organization that Supergirl's working closely with. So it's neat what they're doing with that stuff, and they just did...
Well, and I think it's cool. I mean, they're obviously... they have to take a route like that because Superman can't play a big part in this show.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a way to kind of give her a big bad that is going to probably have... those type of abilities and everything at some point, or if he doesn't already, who knows?
However they decide it.
So yeah, since we're probably not going to see Cyborg Superman in, I don't know, even if it is in the movies, it doesn't matter because these shows are apparently separated somehow from the movies, and we're not really going to see Superman and Supergirl. So it is kind of a neat way to like bring in a notable villain.
It'd be super
cool. You know,
I love the way that they do. I think a lot of people complain about how many times they reference Superman. I get excited every time I hear it.
I do too.
You know, yeah, it just makes me giddy that that they're acknowledging that he's out there.
That it exists.
Because so many times when they do shows like this, they feel like they have to cut themselves off from the outside world and keep themselves contained, and they don't. But they did that one episode where he showed up and saved her.
Yeah.
You know, and you just saw kind of the silhouette. And then they were texting each other at the end.
Dude,
I felt like a little kid.
Yeah.
I was just like giddy when I just saw her texting Clark. I'm like, oh, that's so cool. I love it. I am such a nerd.
Yeah.
But I love, and that one, you saw the episode where her and Jimmy are talking about, like, every time Clark does this or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And her buddy's like, Clark?
Oh, when they, accidentally revealed the... I was like, oh, good. So this random guy just knows now.
I was laughing so hard. I love the stuff like that.
Clark
I think
Kent
that's
Superman?
Great.
Yeah.
And then it's the other thing is the thing I decided at the beginning of this show I was going to try to watch it with my daughter, who's 3.
Yeah.
About to turn 4, actually, on Sunday.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Woohoo. And it was one of those things where I was like, I just kind of want to watch something with her week to week. Like, I used to watch TV.
Yeah.
She'll never have that chance because everything's digital, and which is awesome.
It's
better now.
Yeah.
But it's still neat. So I was like, oh, I'll pop this on. Hopefully she'll care more than 10 minutes, whatever. And I mean, she loses interest once in a while when Supergirl's not on screen. But she's really into that show.
Oh, that's
even
good.
As young as she is. And it makes it really cool to just sit there. I end up like missing a lot of stuff and having to rewatch parts of the episodes later sometimes so I get the story. But she is super into it. She is always flying around the room and trying to wear her cape and stuff like that when it's on. So it's great. And it's such a positive, fun show.
It is. It's fun, like colorful and bright and lighthearted and positive messages. Yeah, I like it quite a bit.
And there's not a whole lot of network TV on at 7 o'clock at night that I can sit my 3-year-old in front of and not feel like she's pulling in stuff that she shouldn't be pulling in. But the show's kept it real good.
I agree.
Very family friendly.
So. I like it quite a bit. And I hope it keeps performing well. I want to see it succeed. Yep. So.
Well, they just ordered 7 more episodes. So they upped it to a full season.
Good.
20 episodes. And there's already rumors now that sometime maybe in sweeps month or something, they're going to try to do some sort of Flash crossover. I have no idea how legitimate that
is. Wow, that'd be awesome.
It's the same showrunner. So we have always known that there's at least, you know, cross your fingers, hope, and maybe sometime in the distant future it can happen. I never would have guessed within a year, and I'm still betting it probably won't happen.
Right.
But, it's already out there enough to the point where people are talking about it and it's not immediately being shot down.
Yeah,
so,
that's good.
Forward progress. So now we can transition into the other... The other big comic book show that people are talking about these days?
The other big comic show is...
People who aren't me are talking about it, unfortunately.
I know. I was really hoping that you would have already seen most
There's
of this.
There's been a lot
together.
Going on.
I know.
And I will catch up by the next time we talk, even though the next time we talk it might be all Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. For sure. But we'll have to get to it eventually. And I can't even blame you because you've been on me about Flash and Arrow for a while now. Yeah. It's not like I've watched those. So.
Yeah. I gotta skip this show for 3 years.
Yeah. No, don't do that.
No, I'm not gonna.
Don't do it. You'll regret it.
I would.
We're of course talking about Jessica Jones, Marvel's Jessica Jones, the Alias TV series. And we talked about before how Alias is never a book that I read, so I'm not familiar with it at all. But was still excited about the series. Everything we had saw in the trailers and everything looked really good. You have seen the first episode of it.
Seen the first. Gut-wrenching.
Right?
Yeah.
The tone of this show. Like, Daredevil was dark. This show takes that to another level.
Yeah.
It's really intense.
Yeah.
And that's just one thing, too. Like, I watched it with my wife and... You know, there would be episodes that would, like, she had to turn her head away multiple times.
Ooh.
And this is, and she watches, like, Walking Dead with me and stuff.
Yeah.
She doesn't really,
she's
I
hardcore,
mean, so she that's... does that, she does that with Walking Dead sometimes too, but there's never been a Marvel show that's made her do this.
Yeah.
Like, there was moments in this show that she could not watch because of how dark it got. So this is a pretty serious show. Now, I know the comic books were the same way. It was part of the Max series or whatever the Alias books were, so it is kind of that 18 plus, and they definitely kept that theme for this show, and I like that because that's one thing I feel like the Netflix stuff is doing well, and we talked about it with Daredevil. We're seeing the dirty underbelly side of the Marvel universe. You know, the movies can be the bright, colorful, you know, the Avengers doing all that stuff, fighting the supervillains, but there's this other stuff that's going on in the Marvel Universe too, and we're seeing all that and it's really cool seeing these two different sides, but still watching how they all still mesh together and work.
Yep.
And I think that's a lot of fun.
And they don't market it for kids. They don't want your kids to watch it, and that's the only big deal right there. Like I've always said, I mean, I don't want to see a big budget R-rated Spider-Man movie.
Yes, exactly.
Because That's you know, like as good as it could in theory be, it's not the right medium for something like that because there are the kids want to see that stuff.
Right,
you know, you're
Spider-Man
inviting disaster.
Should be kid friendly.
Exactly.
Yes,
you know, or if you're going to do a non kid friendly Spider-Man, put it on a fringe thing somewhere where it's hard to get access at least. Because they had some Spider-Man comics that were, you know, I mean not like this.
Yeah.
But that pushed some envelopes as far as, you know, darkness goes and everything like that. I don't mind the idea of seeing something like that, but I don't want to see it in the big in your face.
Yeah.
This is what we're our $200 million vehicle on, you know. However, everything with a Marvel logo doesn't have to be kid friendly.
Exactly.
Because
yeah.
like you said, they do have a lot of those stories that they go deeper and they're more adult themed. And as long as they're not trying to trick my kids into watching those,
exactly.
I'm excited for them.
Exactly. So we're not going to get into spoilers here since John hasn't watched it
yet. Yeah, we don't mind spoiling stuff for you guys, but I don't want him spoiling stuff for me.
I can't spoil it for John, but I can't wait. There's so many things I want to talk about with it. I will say that David Tennant is brilliant. I mean, that dude...
I keep hearing that.
...is amazing.
Yeah.
Kilgrave is absolutely the most frightening supervillain I have ever seen. Yet, he plays this role so wonderfully that even though he is terrible and he's legitimately scary, you can't help but want to see more of him in this show, because every scene he is in, he pretty much steals. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's awesome. Like, his character is so, it's like, it's so interesting, but so terrible. Like, he is just, yeah. He is evil as all get out. Yeah. Like, oh my God. And it's so scary. He has got, that's like one of the scariest superpowers I think I've ever seen, you know, that for a villain yeah, like him to have.
Absolutely.
And oh my God. Like, it's frightening.
I was talking to some people about that before the show even came on, and people who were a little bit more in the know. Like one of my buddies who read a lot of the Alias comics and stuff. And even he, like, he couldn't remember them specifically super well, like, as far as the details. But that was one of the things I said to him. I'm like, how do these powers work? Because the way the trailers made it look and stuff, he was controlling, like, entire police departments at a time. And I'm like, that is unstoppable. Mm. Like, what in the world is the limitation
there? Well, there's limits to it.
And I'm really, yeah, and I'm really looking forward to getting into...
Yeah.
Because, again, I have complete and full faith in Netflix, Marvel, all of that stuff. So I know it's awesome. So even though I don't understand it yet, that makes me excited to figure out what's
absolutely.
Going on.
Well, and that's one of the exciting kind of roller coaster rides you go on through the show, because that's basically what Jessica's doing through the whole season, is trying to figure his power out and how to stop him.
Oh, nice. So that's like a big mystery.
So that's kind of like, you know, and she's like, she's already had past experiences with him, so she already kind of knows. And so it's kind of like she's basically has to teach other people about, you know, and to help other people. And then, but she's at the same time trying to figure out, well, there's got to be like an end to this. There's got to be like a way I can get in to stop it. Like, so she's basically trying to solve this the whole time in order to stop him.
Too.
So that's what's so exciting about
it. That style
of
show I love also.
Oh, yeah. And it's very, very, you know, noir. Yeah. The whole show is. It's really cool.
Ryan actually brought it up, and he hadn't finished it. I think it was in the first couple episodes. I think you were in the conversation, too, though. He said it's pretty much a Veronica Mars with adult themes.
Oh, yeah,
you know, which,
for sure.
In fairness, Veronica Mars was Veronica Mars with adult themes.
That's true.
On a couple of occasions.
That's,
you know,
true. It didn't get quite this dark,
yeah,
though.
exactly. But that's one of those, having seen the first episode when he said that, and knowing Veronica Mars very well, like, that made me super excited, because I'm like, that is... I love that show, and I'm really looking forward to something with that tone.
Kristen Ritter does a great job. She's awesome as this character. Mm-hmm. Luke Cage is fantastic.
He was great in that first episode.
He's great. I can't wait for his show.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so excited for a Luke Cage show. It's crazy.
I just hope they give a release date for that soon, because I still don't... I mean, they're filming... I think they've already... There's been set pictures from a long time ago, so they've already filmed it or in the middle of filming it now. But also Daredevil season 2. So if Daredevil's coming out in February, when the world is Luke Cage coming out?
Right, exactly. Well, it'll be cool. They're already linking the worlds together, too, which is really cool. And again, I'm not going to spoil anything, but there are specific links between Daredevil already in this show, which is so exciting when it happens. So you'll like that a lot. It was a really, really good show. And it's one of those ones that totally left me wanting more, which is awesome. Like, I can't wait to see... It's not necessarily like I want more Jessica Jones as a series. It's just I can't wait to see what else they do in this Netflix universe that they've created, because Daredevil was so great, and it followed up with Jessica Jones, which was equally as good, in a totally, like, almost like a different way, too. Like, they're both got that dark tone, you know, and everything going on, but they still feel different. Like, Daredevil is still very much like... with the action and the fighting and the superhero stuff, and there's a lot less of that in Jessica Jones. Mm-hmm. Like, we have some of it, but not on the same level as Daredevil. So they're very different styles at the same time.
Yeah.
But, oh, so good. And again, there's lots of references to the overall Marvel universe, which is great. You'll see a lot of that kind of stuff. Lots of Cap jokes, lots of Hulk jokes, lots of stuff like that.
I'm still really looking forward to, because when Daredevil comes out, it'll be February of next year. Captain America will be in May. So I wonder if the Sokovia Accords or whatever Registration Act
is going to affect the Netflix
shows.
Yeah,
you wonder if it's going to, like, if they're at least going to mention it somewhere.
They have to.
Like, yeah.
They have to. Know. It's got to affect everything, right? It's got to affect S.H.I.E.L.D. for sure.
I would think. Yeah, S.H.I.E.L.D. for sure, which I'm way behind on for this season, but I think they just did the mid-season finale.
It's
so
been
I
pretty. I've got I'm one episode behind, but I've really been enjoying Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
too. Oh, I've been stoked for it. Yeah. Like I said, that season finale from last season was one of my favorite 90 minutes of Marvel entertainment that they've put out in a while.
It was
like,
good.
Yeah, I just loved that whole episode.
It was
episode.
Really good. Yeah, so, one minor little thing. I want to tell you about it because I want you to look for it and I to see
Moon Knight,
if I'm right.
Moon Knight show Moon Knight. Up.
Oh, man. That would be so great. no, there's a scene, and I want to say it's in the second episode or third episode. It's real early, but there's a scene where she walks into a store. I want to say it's like a convenience store or something, and there's like a news report playing, which is important to the episode, but the story that they're talking about before it, I went back and I listened to it a few times because it's a little hard to hear, but I'm almost positive the reporters are saying something about a kid swinging around New York City.
Nice.
And I was really I went back and listened to it like three times to make sure that's exactly what they said. But it's like it's in a transition scene and she's walking in the door and so like it's just in the background and you can hear it and I'm like, what are they talking about? What did they just say on that? And like we went back and I'm like, I am almost positive they just made a Spider-Man reference.
I'll be listening for it then.
Watch out for that for sure. But yes, Jessica Jones, if you haven't watched it yet, get on it. It's just
I'm
so
probably
cool.
going to be up until like 2 o'clock this morning. I'm going
to
go home and watch
an episode
or two.
Well, that's what happened to us. Like Christina and I binge watched that show for sure. We watched it over the course of three evenings. And on the last one, we did not stop. Like when you get to about episode, what is it? It's a 13 episode show.
I think so.
I want to say when you get around episode 8, there's no return.
You're just in.
There is no return. You're in for the long haul. And that's what happened to us. Like, we were going to watch, like, three episodes and then go to bed and then watch, like, the last three episodes the next day. Oh, no. We were done. We were up until, like, 2 or 3 in the morning, and we finished that show. It was awesome. So, good stuff for sure. Definitely check it out. All right. Something else that is we've been wanting to talk about a little bit, and this is actually going to go into a bigger conversation overall, but we've mentioned the return of Evil Dead in the form of the new TV series Ash versus Evil Dead. And you haven't had a chance to watch this show yet either, but I have. I've started watching it. And
I don't like you being caught up.
I know, right?
Stuff,
it's weird. We're watching opposite things.
Yeah.
That's what we do now. We just come here to talk about the things that we're not.
But then we try not to spoil it for each other, so our show just sucks.
Yeah, exactly. I'm about an episode behind on that, too, right now. But really digging it. Really digging it. It's so well done because they pick the tone of the show is the perfect balance of the humor and just the terrifyingly, like, awful demons and very frightening things happening. Like, it's just the perfect
just
balance.
Just like the movies.
Just like those movies were. So it's I mean, it feels so Sam Raimi.
Awesome.
it's a great show. Bruce Campbell is already fantastic in it. I mean, he's perfect. It's great.
Well, I think they greenlit a second season before the first episode
aired. Oh, that's good. That's good. Well, I was reading just recently, too, and I know a lot of people have been asking already why there hasn't been any references to a lot of the things from Army of Darkness, but I guess they don't have the rights to the Army of Darkness stuff, because
really?
A different studio released Army of Darkness. I think Universal released Army of Darkness.
Okay.
So Universal has the rights to everything that happened in that movie, so they haven't been able to make mention to that stuff yet. They're glazing over like the time travel stuff completely.
Yeah.
He's working at a different store that's not S-Mart.
It's
a similar store, but it's not S-Mart. It's Value something or something like that. Yeah. So it's one of those things where like they're
that's
not
a bummer.
Well, but they're doing it in a way where I don't think they're necessarily erasing that stuff like it didn't happen. They're just working
ignoring
around it.
Yeah.
So that way if it gets to a point where they do get the rights, it'll still fit in just fine.
Yeah.
But I think one of the biggest things people are saying is, like, why doesn't he have the metal hand that he had in Army of Darkness? Well, it's because he can't, because that was an Army of Darkness thing.
Yeah.
Because he's got, like, this wood hand that he uses a lot, you know, before when he's not using the chainsaw.
Yeah.
So that's the only kind of, I guess, bummer. But I will say that it's not really, like, it's not affecting the show. It's not taking you out of the show. I mean, it's still been super entertaining, and I'm really liking it. You're going to love it. I know you are.
I'm super excited.
I know you're going to love it.
That stuff with the rights always is, it's always so funny to me. And luckily, I mean, those walls are crumbling more and more as talk about, like, the fact that we can talk about The Flash maybe showing up on Supergirl and not know for sure that it won't happen is awesome. But they do stuff like that where, like, you know, some people own certain rights and other people own other rights, and it always gets so confusing. I always think of The Tick.
Oh, yeah.
They did The Tick cartoon on Fox, and then it got canceled, and then a few years later they do The Tick live-action show on Fox, but they couldn't use Deflator Mouse or American Made because somehow someone else owned the rights to those characters.
Yeah.
But they didn't own the rights to The Tick and Arthur and all the other stuff, and even though it was on the same network, like...
Weird, right? Because they just changed their names to, like, what was a
it was Batmanuel.
Yeah, Batmanuel.
And was it like Agent Liberty or something like
something
that?
Something like that. Yeah. Speaking of which, that's one of those shows that's coming back, right? The live action Tick.
Actually, yeah.
The live action Tick is getting a revival, and that's going to bring us right into our discussion here, because Ash versus the Evil Dead is one of those great revivals that have recently come back. I mean, they brought these old cult favorite films back from the dead and made a TV series out of it. And it's not the only thing. Like, revivals are a huge deal right now.
It's the greatest.
Right?
The greatest thing. I get excited about all the ones I didn't even care about. I get excited about the prospect of them doing more of it, you know?
Right.
I think Arrested Development was one of the earlier, like, at least the first Netflix one.
Yes.
And that wasn't even, I mean, that show was only 10 years old or so at the time. But it was always one of those cult favorites. It was well-liked enough to get a few seasons, but the viewers were never up, and then it kind of went away. And it's had such a strong fan base for a decade that someone went, hey, why don't we make a show and just redo it if we can get everybody back together? And it was a big hit for Netflix early on in their original programming. And now everybody and their uncle is, is doing revival stuff, either in movie or a lot of it's coming in TV show.
Oh, yeah.
And it is just the... best.
Well, it's been great, too, and I think the streaming media has a lot to do with it, obviously. Like, Netflix has been a big part of that sort of thing. Because even, like, cartoons, we've talked about some of the cartoons before. Like, we saw that, like, Danger Mouse is coming back, and we know that's still coming. I don't think it... Has that one started back up
yet? No, I think that's next year. Inspector Gadget
Inspector Gadget came out. It's okay. I watched some of it. It's not super great, but it's back. I saw Popples on there the other day. Do you remember Popples?
No.
Popples was this crazy toy line when I was a kid. It was, like, a very Care Bear-ish stuffed animal toy line. Crazy little furry critters that the gimmick was they would roll up into a ball. They had, like, these pouches that would roll up into a ball. And there was a cartoon series that went along with it. Netflix just brought that back as a Netflix exclusive show.
So it's new episodes?
It's new episodes, brand new show for Netflix, and they have a new toy line that goes along with it. Right?
Awesome.
How crazy is that? Like, Netflix is just like, we got this. Like, we're just going to... I mean, they've become their own network. It's insane.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we've talked about, like, DuckTales is coming back, right? That's one of the ones that they're bringing back.
They're I don't know if this exactly counts, but they're doing Disney Kids or whatever is doing a Tangled.
Oh, that's right. They're doing a Christina was really excited about that when we found
I'm really
out.
Excited.
Yeah,
about that.
And Caitlin really likes.
Oh yeah, my
Rapunzel,
daughter
right?
loves Tangled. Yeah.
That's good. That's good.
So
stuff.
That's going to be great. But then, I mean, we've got Full House coming back.
Full House.
We've got
right?
the X-Files coming back.
Right. It's nuts. That's so nuts. And then one of the big ones that just got announced this week, and kind of the reason we brought this whole thing up that just made us realize that there were so many, but I've seen a lot of people talking about Samurai Jack being revived.
Yep.
Now, Samurai Jack is a show that I've never actually watched.
Yeah, me neither.
And it's one of those ones that I know I probably should, because even when it was on the air, everybody was always talking about how good of a show that was. So I've never, like, doubted that it was a good show. I've just never gotten around to it myself. Yep. It's been off the air for 10 years, and Cartoon Network just announced that it is coming back in 2016. As part of the Adult Swim lineup, brand new episodes of Samurai Jack. 10 years later.
Now, is it going to be a continuation or a renewal? Like, are they rebooting it, or
I'm trying to get it pulled up because I had it pulled up earlier. I don't think there was a lot of information on it. I know it's the same showrunner that was before.
Yeah, like I said, and it's one of those things that's going to get me into, if I can find the old episodes. I kind of want to catch up on those so that I can jump onto this, because I am just all, like I said, this bandwagon, I'm all on
right
it. Stuff I didn't like. Full House, everybody loved Full House. I liked Full House fine. I didn't love Full House.
Yeah.
But I'm super excited for the new Full House.
I'm the same way, yeah.
Just because I'm interested to see what they do with stuff like that.
It's like the new Boy Meets World show, Girl Meets World. Have you watched that at all?
Not yet.
So Christina and I started watching that just because we both really liked Boy Meets World a lot. It was a great show. And while Girl Meets World is an okay show, it is not ever going to be Boy Meets World. But part of the reason is that it's absolutely a show made for today's kid audience. And I get that. It has to be.
Yeah.
But they do a lot of things in the show that are total throwbacks for us, the parents watching it, because they have had, I think by this time, they have already had every single person from the original show make a cameo appearance in the new show. They've all shown up somewhere.
Awesome.
And every time it happens, it's so exciting. Yep. And then they even did an episode recently where the girls like did this whole like going back in time thing and got to watch Corey and Topanga as kids. So like they did that thing where they like interjected them into an old episode.
Oh,
and so they were like in the background in an old episode watching things happen. And it was just so fun to watch.
Awesome.
You know, it was like, this is
like
cool.
That.
Yeah.
And that's on ABC Family, right?
It's on Disney Channel,
Channel?
It's a Disney show.
So it's actually like episodic and week to week.
It
and
is.
Stuff like
that. It's a continuing story. It's one of those shows like it is very teen oriented, and it's for like modern day teens.
Yeah.
So
you said
it should be. Yeah. You're right. So it does kind of lose my interest, you know, quite a bit. Where I'm just like, I mean, I don't know why I'm still watching this. I think I'm only watching this because of the Boy Meets World connection, which I am.
Yeah.
But every time a connection pops up, I get happy.
You know what I mean?
and I
will say this too, to go back to the praising of the Netflix idea and stuff like that. You know, I think there's a lot of advantages to the old way of TV, and maybe I just say that because that's the way I grew up, but I think sometimes I love binge watching. I'm not saying anything against it, but you lose a little something sometimes when you do binge on stuff like that, because there are, if you watch a show week after week for 2 or 3 years, you really connect with a lot of that stuff. If you watch a show for a week and a half once a year, you know, the next time the show runs around, me at least, I forget everything that happened. Like, I really need a refresher if it's a continuing storyline.
Exactly. Because
it just doesn't have the same amount of time to connect.
Right.
You know? But one of the big advantages of that format, I would say, would be some of this reboot stuff, because I'm betting, or revival stuff, because I'm betting if you watched Boy Meets World or Girl Meets World in a Netflix format where you just hammered out 15 episodes over a couple of weeks, you know, I bet you'd love every second of it.
Oh, you're probably right.
You know what I mean? Like,
you're probably right.
When you got a lot going on and you're watching it week by week, then you kind of start to lose interest because of all that other stuff. But if you could just plow through that, I bet you anything.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I'm excited for a lot of this stuff.
I think
like
Full House is
going to
be good
on
for
Netflix.
That.
I'll just be able to hammer through it,
enjoy
my ride, and you know, and kind of be done with it. Netflix is the one doing Gilmore Girls?
Yes, and that's another one I definitely wanted to talk about, too.
Yeah, my wife came home all excited, and she had never watched the show, but she had always wanted to, and she loves the revival stuff, too, so she's like, they're doing a Gilmore Girls one, we gotta watch them, so we just started season
one.
That's
cool,
and we've
got,
like,
and those
eight
are all
seasons
on Netflix
to get through
too.
Now, and that's such a fun show.
It really is. Like, that is, okay, that is, like, Christina's all-time favorite show.
That's
she
awesome.
She adores Gilmore Girls so much so that, like, she has probably seen that whole show all the way through multiple times. I guarantee it. Because when she's bored and she doesn't have anything to do, she puts on Gilmore Girls. Still, to this day.
Awesome.
Like, I will come in walking into the living room and Gilmore Girls will be on the TV. And she, you know, it's on Netflix now too, so it's so easy to do it.
Yep.
You know, she loves it. And when we first started dating, that was one of those things where she was like, okay, well, I want you to watch this show with me. You know, like, I got her to sit down and watch Star Wars and stuff with me, and she wanted me to watch Gilmore Girls because it was still airing on TV at that time, and she loved it, and she always made sure to watch it when it was on. So I sat down, and I watched it all the way through with her, and it's one of those shows that I don't think I ever would have watched without her, but I love it.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that I did watch it with her. I think it's a super entertaining show.
I had somebody kind of forced me on to season one back probably when, like, maybe season two or three was airing.
Yeah.
The DVDs had just come out.
Yeah.
And this girl I worked with just kept hammering. Yeah. You should watch it. You should watch. It's like, fine, I'll watch it. And then I watched it and loved it.
Yeah.
But then I never watched the other seasons.
Right.
So she came home and said that, and I got excited. I'm like, yeah, I never finished that show. Let's go ahead and
yeah,
that
you're done. you're gonna love it. It's a really smart show.
It is.
And
the dialogue is just so
the dialogue
good.
Is insane on that show. But it's fun, and there's so many great moments in it. So yeah, they made the announcement that was coming back as a limited run Netflix series, and that she's like just over the moon. She's so excited, and I'm happy too, because that's one of those shows that it was a great show but didn't really get the proper ending it really deserved, I don't feel. I think the showrunner Amy Sherman Palladino left either halfway through the last season or wasn't there for the full last season or something like that, and it was one of those shows where they knew it was the last season but the whole thing felt kind of rushed and not proper and didn't really end the way I think everybody really kind of wanted to see the show properly go out. So it really left you wanting to see more. You wanted to see more happen with it. And for years, it's always kind of felt like something was going to happen with it, because the actors involved have always said that they would love to do a reunion. They'd be up to do a movie as long as the right people were involved, mm-hmm. this and that. So it was one of those things that always kind of felt like was probably going to happen. It was just a matter of time, because I swear those rumors of a movie or something were just popping up constantly for that mm-hmm. show. And I always watched Christina get so excited and so deflated when nothing would happen with it. So seeing that Netflix finally revived it and is bringing back the entire cast, minus poor Mr. Gilmore, who is no longer with us, which is really sad.
Edward Herrmann.
Yeah, he's great.
Rest in peace.
He's fantastic. And he just passed away.
He was always great in everything he ever did, too.
Yeah.
Anytime that guy showed up, it was entertaining.
He's one of my favorite characters on this show, too. He's great on this
show. We're 5 episodes in.
Yeah.
And he's probably my favorite.
Oh,
you know?
He's wonderful.
I love him.
Yeah.
But I love everybody on that show so far.
It's a great show.
And Melissa McCarthy, I always forget that's kind of where she was.
She
on the entire show, right?
Yeah, she is. She's Lorelai's best friend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where she...
That's why I always reference that, because everybody's always, you know, most people's knowledge of Melissa McCarthy these days is either from Mike and Molly or from the role that she plays in all the movies. And
yeah.
And I'm always like, but Gilmore Girls, you know, she was very different in Gilmore Girls,
totally
and
different.
She's good in Gilmore.
Yeah, she's great.
So,
and that
yeah.
you know, that's the thing I've always said about her. Like, I really like her. Usually,
yeah.
Sometimes she just turns it up too far.
Yeah.
For my tastes, you know. And if it works, I mean, if it works for the audience, cool, whatever.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, I see a trailer for something she's in, and I'm just like, eh, that's not the one for me.
right.
You know. But in this show, she is awesome.
Yeah, she's good.
She's great.
Yeah. So that'll be one that I'm looking forward to as well. But
just between between Netflix taking all this stuff and Kickstarter and everything.
Oh man,
doing,
right?
Because just like we were talking about a few minutes ago, Veronica Mars, that's another one that got the big revival thing.
Mm-hmm.
It ended way prematurely.
Oh,
seasons was not enough for that show, and then it was just gone. And I don't even remember why or how or what the story was of it, of its cancellation.
And it's one of those ones that, like, totally
because they left
you
all
hanging.
The cliffhangers at the end of that season, and it was just like an empty void.
That's
you know?
One of those ones that hurts me still. I'm just like, man.
Well, but we've got the follow up now.
Yeah,
movie, and it didn't. I mean, unfortunately, it came too late to directly continue a lot of that stuff, but
right.
it gave you the retrospective tie up of.
Yeah.
You know, here's what happened to those storylines, and here's where they are now, and here's a little bit of extra closure, you know, going forward. And the way they leave that movie, they could have made 10 more of those movies, or they can never make another one again.
Yeah.
Either way, I feel satisfied now.
Yeah. Yeah, I still would love to see that show, like an actual show for that. That one's a sad one, because that show, we were so into that when we were watching it, and then it was just, when you have that realization that there was no more than what we have there, it's just like, no, we need more of this.
Yep. But it just makes you excited for anything you've ever watched, you know? Like the, I think it was 2008, I think, when Monk went off the air.
Monk.
And I said immediately when that went off the air, I was like, they should totally do the Columbo thing with this. Because Columbo had a few seasons of a run, and then 2-3 times a year NBC would make a movie of the week of Columbo.
Yeah.
So there's like 2 or 3 seasons of Columbo and then like 9 Columbo movies, you know? And it's great. And that Monk was pretty much just Columbo.
Right.
For a new generation.
Right.
So as soon as that show ended and the way it ended, I was like, this would be awesome because there's absolutely no reason for USA to not do a movie special of the week,
right?
You know, once a year at least, and so I'm sure we'll get more Monk and just never hear of anything
never
like
hear
it again.
Nah.
But I bet you anything, within the next 5 years, somebody's going to go. You know, what was great? Monk.
Yeah.
And Tony Shalhoub's not busy.
Yeah.
So let's just go do some Monk.
Let's just do it.
You know? So that's stuff awesome. Like, and you can sit back and hope for that now. Like before, those were pipe dreams.
Right.
Stuff you never saw. You know, once in a blue moon, something like that would happen. And now it happens all the time. So all that stuff you loved that kind of went away, you don't know anymore.
I know, right? There's some shows that I wish would come back, but I don't ever see happening. Like, I really loved Pushing Daisies. Do you remember Pushing Daisies?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I
you did love
that
Pushing
show
Daisies.
Was so bizarre though.
Man,
you know what
you
I mean?
Pushing Daisies.
Yeah, it was good. It was really good.
Yeah.
And it was so different. And I think that's why I liked it. But sometimes when you do things different like that, that's people don't watch it because they're like, "This is weird. I don't want to watch it." And it's a little bizarre, but.
I don't remember what kind of audience that had, because sometimes you get the audiences that are small but very dedicated, and that's kind of sometimes that's a lightning rod for a project like this. I don't remember if Pushing Daisies had that or not.
I don't.
But that
either.
Would be cool to see again because I liked it a lot too.
And I remember
I had to like it though. I lived with you. You would have hurt me.
We were watching it when we lived together. And then I always liked Dead Like Me a lot too. And that one did get a movie eventually, which was kind of cool. Mm-hmm. They did like a direct to video movie, which was kind of the same thing as the Veronica Mars. They kind of tied things up because that show just ended too without an actual ending, which was really sad. So they kind of did a tie-up thing, but there was a bunch of people missing from that movie that were in the show, and it was kind of like Rube, who was like the main Reaper in the show, wasn't in the movie, and the explanation that they kind of gave was just like, oh, well, he moved on, and it was kind of like, well, that's sad, because I wanted to see more
stinks,
with that.
That's half the reason I wanted this to exist.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, it's cool though,
We're still gonna cross our fingers for the Community movie.
Oh, Community!
And that's one of those. I honestly can't decide if I want that to happen really fast and come out next year, or if I kind of want that to go away for 6 or 7 years and then revive itself.
Because
that almost feels like the way it should happen, but I don't want to wait.
I still need to watch the Yahoo season.
Oh, we're doing that soon.
We got to.
Yeah,
I love
soon.
That show. That show's great.
That's a good season too.
So, revivals.
Yeah.
There's so
and
many
had,
of them.
We had a question about that, revivals and stuff. Also.
Oh.
That we kind of lead into.
That's right. We do have a question. Let's go ahead and bring that up. This was actually more of a question about movie type stuff, though. I'm not sure what's going on with my internet. There we go.
Well, it was basically they were saying, to paraphrase, with Transformers is commercially successful but critically panned. There's been a couple of
Here
G.I. Joe.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, and Gem is the biggest, the most recent example. So this is, this is
disaster.
Jack Pistaro, good old Jack. He sends us great questions all the time. So this is his question. It says, with the failure of Gem, the box office success but critical panning of Transformers, the wobbly outings for G.I. Joe, and the recent talk of a Dino Riders reboot. What 80s or 90s toy-based properties that haven't yet been adapted for the big screen do you think would have a shot of really working for a new generation? Or do you think they would only work as new cartoons? So talking about toy lines being revived or old toy properties being revived in the movies. Gem... Just real quick, throw that out there because we talked about this when the trailer stuff came out and how disappointed I was in the way it looked.
Yeah.
That movie was in the theater for like a week or two, and the studio
pulled it.
The studio pulled it because it was so bad, and it apparently it cost them just all kinds of money. Like they lost a ton of money on that movie.
It's pretty rare when the studio is like, nope, don't show it anymore.
Yeah.
Don't.
What the heck, guys? Yeah. That is heartbreaking. Like, Gem could have been a great movie.
Hopefully can be someday when someone actually makes a Gem movie.
That's what I'm saying. Instead of just taking whatever stupid script you had and slapping Gem onto it and shoehorning in a few references to your cartoon. I don't know. I didn't see the movie, but everything...
We wanted to just so we could make sure we were right, and we couldn't because it was gone too
Boom,
fast.
Boom, out of there. Yeah. Out of there. And you saw nothing but just terrible, terrible stuff about that movie.
Yeah.
So that is a shame. That is just a shame. So getting to Jack's question, personally, I don't know if any of this stuff would really work the way we would want it to. And I think, Transformers is a great example of one of those toy franchises that did find massive success in the box office, but like you said, is still quite panned critically, especially by fans of the brand itself.
But I want everybody to stop and think about
The first one?
No. Well, yeah, that's another solid point to make, because the first one is great. But the internet seems to hate that movie, or all those movies, and think they're total garbage. And so that's all you ever read is about how garbage they are. Those movies make a bajillion dollars.
So much money.
And they sell a bajillion toys.
So many toys.
Somebody out there likes those movies.
Yep, that's true.
Know?
You're right.
And I never even, I hated the second one. I liked the first and the third one. And I never saw the fourth
one. The fourth one is garbage.
I keep
it's
hearing that.
It's the worst.
I keep hearing that. I hear that about three a lot too, though, and I don't buy it.
I just
I buy four more because more trusted sources have told me that four is garbage.
So bad.
But the point being, like, everybody's like, well, with that Transformers stuff out there, you know, like, that, those are huge successes.
Yeah, they are.
You know, like, not necessarily what old Transformers fans wanted, but they're big, massive successes, you know. Now, the G.I. Joe sort of plods along, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, it made its money, I think, especially the second one, at least. And as I remember, the second one wasn't awful to watch.
Remember how that
honestly,
movie...
Honestly, I barely remember it.
Remember they postponed that movie for an entire year?
Yeah.
Like, they were, like, a couple months away from that movie coming out of theaters, and they said, next year's the release date.
Yep.
That was weird.
Went from midsummer to, and, like, literally, like, a week or two beforehand, they were like, nope, March.
Yeah,
we'll do it in
March.
You know, anything else in March? Nope, we'll take March.
That was crazy.
And now that I'm thinking about it more, I think maybe that movie was worse than I remember. But I don't think it was as bad as the first one, but heck, I don't know. Point being,
they're
like,
not great.
Yeah,
that's
neither of them
know.
Are the worst movies I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Neither of them were very good either, even with The Rock.
And it's
in
the
it.
Same, we can even say the same, though, about the Bay Turtles. You know, everybody still kind of like, the Bay Turtles, bleh.
I
but
liked that one a lot.
I liked it, fine. I'm excited for the sequel, and the fact is, it did make a lot of money.
Yeah.
It did really well. The toys sold really well.
Yep. Brings interest to the brand, which
kids,
is what they're trying to do.
And that's what I always say. Like, you know, regardless of the way I feel about these movies, if kids are getting into them and it's keeping the brand alive, and in return it's allowing these companies to keep making toys that I like, then I consider it a win. And that's the big thing with Transformers. Like, Transformers was so successful, it allowed Hasbro to basically bring these toys, like, back in full force, and all the collectors are getting the really cool Transformers toys that they would not be getting without that movie money.
Yep, that was the point I was exactly about to make. Like, anybody who's, you know, a Transformers loyalist who really hates those movies should probably be ashamed of yourself. Because without, like I said, I mean, you get all these brand new Transformers that are out there. They're on store shelves. They were gone for a decade.
Yeah.
And now they are everywhere, you know. They were weird-looking monkies for a while.
Beast
Wars. And dragons and
Beast
stuff.
Wars.
And they were cool, too. I liked those. But, like, they weren't the Transformers that I wanted at the time. And now Transformers are everywhere. And, like you said, even if you don't like, well, I hate those new Transformers. They look like they're stuff from the movies. That's fine. Even if that's true, you're getting really cool souped up versions of the stuff you do love, like the old, you know,
they do the
retro special edition stuff,
I'm trying to
Masters
the
edition,
the masterpiece
of,
the masterpiece stuff,
and that stuff is awesome, and you would not have a single one of those if every Michael Bay Transformers movies didn't make $1 billion.
Absolutely.
And I just pointed like they were over there. I have
you guys, well, they're the internet, they're right here.
But, so, again, think about that stuff when you're out there complaining on your blogs.
Well, and the biggest thing for me to obviously think about, is thinking about scenarios and getting back to Jack's question, is Masters of the Universe, obviously.
Yeah.
That's my biggest, most beloved property. And I sit here all the time, and like when the movie stuff is coming up, I always sit here and I think, do I really even want this? Do I want this to happen? And it's one of those things where I see two sides of it.
If they do it right, you do.
Exactly. Yeah. I see two sides of it, because obviously I would want the best scenario, which is an amazing movie that I love and makes a lot of money, which keeps the property alive. I feel like that is going to be the hardest thing to accomplish. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a better chance of this movie kind of going down the Transformers road, maybe not really being the He-Man that I want to see, but somehow being successful and the kids like it, and therefore it makes a bunch of money. And then I have to kind of look at it from the side of, well, I didn't really like the movie. That wasn't my He-Man. But you know what? Masters of the Universe is a property again in the public eye.
Yep.
And now Mattel's putting these in stores, which they're not right now. And maybe I'll get some things out of it that I really like because the movie was successful.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things where I almost do want to kind of sit back and go, all right, look, I'm in my mid-30s now. All the He-Man fans are in their 30s and their 40s. We're getting too old to be the demographic the entire time. If they keep aiming this property specifically at us and trying to cater it specifically to our needs, this property is going to die eventually. I mean, it's going to die with us. If we want a property like this to stay alive, they have to find a way to make the new generations love it. And maybe we won't like those versions, but you know what? He-Man will still be alive for new kids to enjoy. And I feel like that's overall the most important thing.
Yeah.
And so it's tough, you know, because you want it to be something that you love because you have such a tight-knit nostalgic connection to it. But at the same time, I want kids to experience the same thing that I experienced with it when I was a kid. And maybe the only way to do that is to cater more to them and to ignore all of us angry 30 and 40-year-olds who want things a specific way. So
yeah,
it's tough. I mean, it's really hard.
Obviously, like you said, the best-case scenario is they find that middle ground where everybody's happy.
Yeah.
And it's findable. It's doable. I'm sure it is.
Right.
You know?
Like with the new Turtles cartoon.
I
feel like the new Turtles cartoon is the best of both worlds.
Yeah,
I really do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And even with, I think the trick with something like a He-Man movie, you can do a lot of things for less money than you used to be able to, you know?
Yeah.
So, from a business perspective, don't try to make it like a $300 million epic.
Yeah.
Make a pretty modest, I mean, it can't cost too terribly much for loincloths and lightning effects. You know, you can do some cool He-Man stuff, you know, cheap enough. So don't try to go too overboard to the point where you can't make enough. You know, make something where even a modest, you know, box office is profit for you. And then try to stay true to those themes. And that's always the biggest deal. Stay true to the themes.
Right.
You don't have to have the exact same story with the exact same characters with the exact same look. Just stay true to the themes, you know. So I think that answer is out there. But like you said, even if you don't get that, as long as you get something that is sustainable to a new generation,
yep,
then at least you get the back end bonus of
yes,
all of that. And maybe they make a movie that's terrible, but it spawns a cartoon series that's great.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Something
mean,
like
lots
that could
of ways.
Happen.
It would have to be a really, 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 really horrendous movie to taint your love of the old stuff.
That's what I'm saying.
You will always have the old stuff, no matter what.
That has been like a theme of this show
from
the get-go. Your childhood is not ruined.
It's alive and well.
We still have all that old stuff to enjoy. If there's some new things that we don't like, so be it.
Yep.
You know what? Maybe the kids do like it, and that's cool. That's fine. Let them like it. Let them like it. At this point, I do almost feel like I would rather see animation rather than live action for He-Man. I feel like, I mean, live action would be great if they can do it right, but I feel like, I don't know, I feel like just Masters of the Universe and the world with all these crazy characters and stuff just seems so suited for animation, even if it's an animated movie.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that could be really, really well done and
absolutely
well received. You know what I mean?
I saw this thing the other day. It was a pitch idea, essentially. I don't think it's one that has, like, any actual chance of coming true anytime soon or anything like that, and I cannot remember where it even originated from, but basically it was somebody's pitch idea that you could do He-Man as almost, like, a Game of Thrones-style, like, television series, you know?
Whoa.
Obviously nowhere near as hardcore as Game of Thrones.
But that would be cool.
You know, more adult-themed than the cartoons would be, way, way less adult-themed, I'm sure, than Game of Thrones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But make it a, you know, 3 to 5 season kind of sweeping epic where you can do some of the origin stuff and kind of set that world up and set up who Skeletor is for, you know, one or two seasons. And that battle kind of introduce She-Ra somewhere along the way. Work it all towards this giant epic, you know, final 1 to 2 seasons or whatever that is the Hordak.
Yeah, and the
horde invasion,
the
and everyone having to come together to fight that to save the entire world and stuff. And the way, it was a few paragraphs that I read, but the way it was drawn up, I was like, not ever what I would have envisioned out of He-Man, but could be cool.
I'd be
in. Yeah.
I'd be in. Let's find a way to get Netflix to make a He-Man series for us.
Yeah. So
Marvel and Disney involved somehow. Can you guys handle that for us? I have faith in you.
I was trying to think of the revival stuff from the 80s or 90s to answer the question, too, and I don't have anything that, because the stuff I was mostly into was the comic book stuff,
yeah.
And that's all over the place now anyway.
Right,
you
right.
Know? So there
right.
were a few shows. You brought up Mask earlier.
Mask.
Like, that was a... I loved those toys.
Uh-huh.
I have no idea what a movie of that would look like.
I know,
like,
it
know?
Would be weird. Some of those would translate weirdly into movies,
exactly.
I think.
Exactly. So some of it maybe is better in my memory. Who knows?
I think we're almost getting to the point where we're running out of that stuff, and I also feel like we're almost like running out of time for some of that stuff to work. You know what I mean? Like, the 80s nostalgia stuff is kind of getting further. I mean, we're getting further and further away from the 80s.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We're moving into 90s and stuff.
Yeah,
we've talked about
we've
that
talked
on the show
about
before.
That. So, I mean, it's going to be too late for some of this stuff.
Oh, when can
point.
Netflix pick up Saved by the Bell?
Bring Saved by the Bell back?
I mean, without Screech, obviously.
Oh, yeah, well, obviously.
Yeah.
He's too busy being in jail and stuff. That guy.
He stabbed a guy.
I know.
Laugh at that.
On Christmas, right? In a bar.
Oh, I think it was.
On Christmas,
I think
in a bar.
It was on Christmas.
Yeah, yeah.
Not funny. I don't know why I'm laughing. Not funny.
You screech.
Ugh.
Goodness. Friends forever. All right. Well, let's go ahead and bring it to our final topic for this episode.
Coming full circle.
Talking about superheroes fighting superheroes.
On Jimmy Kimmel.
We also just recently got a trailer for Captain America versus Iron Man. Also known as Civil War, the next Marvel movie coming out. This is one that we've already talked up quite a bit on the show because we're very excited just for the idea of it. We think it's going to be a good one. Trailer, what do you think, man?
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing. I was pretty blown away.
Right?
I mean, I expected to be excited, and I was.
Mm-hmm.
On that level, I suppose, I guess the Batman versus Superman trailer was a little bit more of a positive surprise.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I was hoping to like it and did. This one I was expecting to like
yes.
and did. But of the two, I'm still far more excited for this movie.
Right.
And that trailer was nonstop.
Yeah.
And it had some really cool stuff in it. Those showdown scenes and the way it starts, it comes right in on that cutscene from the credits of Ant-Man.
Yep.
Essentially. It's yep. Falcon and Cap, and they found Bucky, and he's trapped somehow. And they're going through a short questionnaire with him to make sure he really knows who he is and all that stuff. And he's clearly got his memories back. And Cap's pretty much telling him, hey, there are guys coming here right now. And they're pretty mad about all those people you killed. And they want to kill you. So, you know, something's got to happen. And then we kind of trail into Thaddeus Thunderbolt Ross
mm-hmm.
from The Incredible Hulk
mm-hmm.
Showing back up.
Yeah.
And really excited about that, bringing him back in.
Yeah, absolutely.
I loved that Thunderbolt to begin with in Incredible Hulk.
Right.
And now straight into this. It'll be interesting to see him in a movie without Hulk anywhere in
right,
it.
Right, right.
You know? But awesome. Again, it's just tying that world
I'm
together.
Sure, it'll
That's
be
cool.
mentioned, though.
And they're doing what they called in the movie the Sokovia Accords. Basically, Thunderbolt comes in and is like, hey, Cap, you've been doing whatever you want to do for a while now. I'm assuming he means superheroes in general, because of all the ones who have been doing whatever they want to do, Cap does not fit that list, because
yeah.
he's been under government control the entire
right,
time.
Right.
Or control might not be the right word, but he's been working with S.H.I.E.L.D.
yeah.
and the government the whole time. So, except for, I guess, at the end of Winter Soldier is when S.H.I.E.L.D. fell. So maybe they're only talking about that time period.
Right.
You know. But obviously the events of Age of Ultron are carrying over, and people are a little upset about having all this power and no accountability.
Right.
So he comes in with what seems to be the movie version of the Registration Act.
Yep, that's what it looks like.
And then they call it the Sokovia Accords. Now, what we don't know at this point, what actually those accords entail. You know, in the Superhero Registration Act was we want to get rid of secret identities, or at the very least, the government needs to know who you are because you have to be held accountable. Accountability is still a big issue, clearly,
yep.
but nobody really has a secret identity anyway in these movies for the most part. Like, I don't think the public knows who Steve Rogers is,
right.
but the government clearly does.
Right,
the same
right,
with Tony
right.
Stark. Everybody knows who Tony Stark is, all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So, it'll be interesting to see, but they already show lines being drawn. The interesting thing I think about the trailer is they bring in Iron Man pretty quickly there. And they really, I felt like they were making Iron Man a much more sympathetic character in that trailer than I was going to guess he was going to be in that movie.
Yeah.
Because in the comics, to my understanding, you know, Tony's not the one you're really rooting for.
Oh, they totally made him out to be like the villain in the Civil War books,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. And I expected that out of this movie, especially being that it is a Captain America movie.
Yeah.
But they really make, I mean, they make, on the one hand, they make it look like Steve is harboring a fugitive and Tony comes in to stop him, and then Steve's beating up his friend, you know? And Robert Downey Jr. looks like his feelings are hurt a few times. And that's the thing that, you know, there's one thing that gave me pause out of both of these big trailers. The Batman vs. Superman, it was Doomsday. This one, it is, I don't want Tony to be the good guy in this movie.
And
that's kind of feels like what they're doing. But time will tell, we'll see, because I don't know, don't know what's going on with the Winter Soldier either.
Exactly. I think it's going to be one of those things where they both have their points that you can kind of side with, but it's going to be one of those situations where there's just really no black or white to it. There's no right or wrong answer. It's too hard to, you know, so you understand why it's bringing them kind of head to head in this.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of what's going on is probably with Tony is probably stemming from the fact that he feels responsible for the whole Ultron thing and Sokovia and all that. So he probably feels the most remorse, and why he would, if this is some sort of a registration act of some sort or accountability, obviously Tony feels accountability for this, and which would make sense for why he would want to support whatever this is.
And again, my expectations of it, I know they both have good points.
Yeah.
But I was always under the impression that, you know, even though he had a reasonable point of view, Tony was still a jerk about it.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, you didn't have to hate everybody who sided with him, because they're all still heroes, they're the good guys, you can still like them, fine. But he is out of line. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I want. I want to root for Captain America, especially in a Captain America movie.
Right.
And there's nothing that says that that's not how they're playing it. It's just the trailer kind of gave me pause on a couple of parts.
Yeah.
The other thing, too, is if you look at it as, well, Cap is harboring a fugitive, and him and Tony are kind of buddies, so this is kind of messed up. On the one hand, that's true. On the other hand, they say at the beginning of that trailer, you know, like, Cap's telling Bucky, hey, these guys are coming to kill you. If he's harboring a fugitive, that's one thing. If he's trying to keep his friend alive,
that's
a totally different thing.
Yeah.
You know, so if he knows that if he gets caught, it's going to be the end, then you have to go all out.
Right.
So it makes a little bit more sense. How cool did Black Panther look?
Oh, Black Panther looks great that, right?
Yeah.
The costume looks great. Just
love
all
it.
The action scenes we see with him real quick looks awesome. Very cool.
All the standoff stuff they
standoff
they
stuff
show.
Is good. Yeah. Well, and yeah, you get that scene too where you see the kind of like the Avengers basically picking sides, so they're kind of split, you know, and you've got Iron Man and War Machine, and it looks like Black Widow's on his team, and you know, kind of on the one side, and then you've got, you know, Cap and Hawkeye's on him.
Yeah.
So Hawkeye and Black Widow are against each other, which is interesting. But yeah, it's like Cap
was
and Hawkeye.
On, was she,
and
on...
she was on Tony's side.
Cool.
Yeah. Which is crazy because she's been running around with Cap in all these movies.
But I mean,
like,
she's a soldier.
Yep.
So
it looks like she's taken. So, yeah, she was on Iron Man's side. And yeah, you got Cap and Falcon and Hawkeye and Scarlet Witch were kind of together there. And Scarlet Witch, you can see her kind of using her powers more. She's like floating around and stuff in the trailers.
Be cool, which will be
cool. Kind of cool.
You got to think with Hawkeye, I mean, his big deal in Age of Ultron was, you know, I've always had the secret family, and I intend to keep it that way.
Yeah,
so if they're putting something out there that says,
I don't
know
why I didn't think about that before, but that now that seems like they did that purposely to set up this kind of stuff.
Which I'm sure they did.
Yeah, absolutely. Huh. So. I didn't even, like, make that connection. Well, that's really cool. And then of course, it's going to be interesting just to see, like, I mean, you already saw everybody asking online, and I knew they weren't going to show him in the trailer, but everybody's already asking where Spider-Man is.
Yeah.
So it is going to be interesting to see how that plays into this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is he just going to be an after credit scene? Or are they going to usher him in somehow?
I think he's going to have a part to play. I mean, they've made too big of a deal out of the fact that he's going to debut there for it to be 10 seconds after the credits.
Right.
Now, it may not be more than 2 minutes in the movie,
and,
but I feel like it's got to be part of the narrative somewhere.
Exactly. And remember, he played a pretty big part in the Superhero Registration Act in the books, because he was one of the big heroes that came out and went ahead with Tony's idea, and he revealed his identity, and then it just caused all kinds of problems for him.
Yep.
So it makes you wonder if they're going to kind of try to incorporate that a little bit. Maybe he will be one of the ones that they convince in the movie, and it's what causes it. Doing... I don't know.
Excuse me.
I don't know.
They're with him being in high school in his own movies, I can't imagine they're going to get rid of his secret identity before
so soon.
They even have a movie.
Yeah. But maybe they'll try.
Yeah, could be.
Maybe that'll be one of their things, you know. Maybe they'll bring up the crazy spider kid swinging around New York, you know, who's causing some damage. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, let's bring him in.
I've also heard a couple of times that there's a very strong chance that Robert Downey Jr. is going to have a part to play in that new Spider-Man movie.
We keep hearing that.
So
yeah.
It's very probable that we'll see some sort of relationship between those two start to form. So maybe he does side with Tony to a degree, but not to the point where he pulls his mask off. And we don't know that the Accords have anything to do
with Secret Identity. We don't know for sure. We're just basing that off of the book.
They could skew that slightly differently, and Spider-Man can be on his side somehow.
Right.
The other thing is, Spider-Man's also not going to be in 45 minutes of this movie.
No, I don't expect
him
to have a huge role.
You know, I would doubt he would be in any action.
Yeah.
And we'll see, but I would doubt it. But, I mean, there's several people in the movie we didn't see. I believe Vision's supposed to be around. I know Ant-Man's in it to some degree, and we didn't see any of those guys in the trailer yet.
Right.
I mean, there's still lots of stuff they're holding back.
For sure.
That very end.
Oh,
where
that
Bucky and
the
Cap
three-way fight
taking on,
where Bucky and Cap are just destroying Iron Man. He has no chance, dude. He's firing at them and missing, and they're just whooping
his
butt, dude.
They're passing the shield back and forth and blocking the shots as they come.
Oh man.
He fired at Cap. Bucky threw the shield to Cap so Cap could block the shot, and then Bucky just started punching it.
Yeah.
Dude. And then right back and forth. Just boom, boom, boom.
Insane.
Oh, I can't wait.
Man. Yeah, there's that great scene, too, that great line, though, where because Cap and Steve and Tony are talking, and Steve says something like, you know, you got to understand, he's my friend.
Yeah.
And Tony says, so was I.
Yeah.
And it's just like, wow, that's...
Yeah.
See, that's deep,
thing.
Man.
Like,
that's deep.
It is. And it's heartfelt on Tony's part.
Yeah.
And I don't want that.
Yeah. You don't want that.
I
don't
want
to
root
want
for
that.
Steve.
Yeah. You know? I'm excited. And the other thing I keep thinking, too, is, like, obviously these guys are going to be at odds with each other. But, like, is the movie going to end with, like, them at odds with each other? Is there going to be some sort of big bad that they have to unite, like in the Superman-Batman stuff?
Maybe Doomsday will show up.
Doomsday could probably show up. Lex Luthor's like, hey, guys, surprise! I made this! And they're like, we don't even know you! Doomsday, what is that? What's Krypton? I'm confused.
I made this!
I don't know. I mean, like, what if some big Thanos thing happens? Because,
There's a long way to go before that.
I know we've got a long way to go, but Avengers 2 ended with Thanos saying, fine, I'll do it myself.
Yeah, but that there's...
Is he going to make his presence known this early?
There's a difference from I'll do it myself to here I am, guys.
Boom! Yeah. I said I was going to do it myself, so here I am.
Well, what is...
Who are you?
Doctor Strange is the next one.
Oh, Strange,
And then Guardians, and then Thor, I think, is after Guardians.
Ragnarok.
And Thor...
Thor is a Thor Hulk movie.
Well, I'm trying to think. Yeah, but it's mostly Asgard.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to figure out, like, when is the next time that we will have to see the repercussions of this movie? And it's not for a long time.
It's going
to
be interesting.
Because, like I said, Doctor Strange, you can do... Doctor Strange is on Earth, but also astral stuff. And you can do an origin story without really touching on any of these other characters. And then you go to space. Then you go to Asgard. I don't even know what's coming after that, but we don't technically, other than the stuff like in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
We'll see Thanos in the next Guardians.
Probably. I'm sure. We saw him in the first one.
Yeah.
There's no reason not to.
We have to.
But
that's what's going to tie the Guardians movies into the Avengers stuff, I think, though.
Yeah. It'll start to. But I don't think they're planning on, I don't know, who knows. They say one thing, maybe they'll do another. they have said... James Gunn, at least, has said, I'm not really building towards an Avengers crossover. We are making our own universe.
That's fine. I still feel like when the big Ultimate Showdown happens, the Guardians have to be there for it.
Potentially.
I feel like everybody has to be there for it.
Yeah. But that wouldn't be till like the second of the...
Yeah.
You know,
Infinity
so
Wars
that's in
Part
like 2. 2019.
Yeah,
you know?
It's so far.
But my point, building off of your point, how's this movie going to end? And first thought when you asked that was, well, I mean, it's got to end with some sort of civility because it's going to lead right into the rest of the universe stuff that's going on. But the rest of the universe stuff that's going on isn't coming back to our main heroes on Earth until at least 2018.
That's insane.
Which I think is when the Avengers. Well, I guess by Spider-Man, which is in 2017. But like I said, I mean, it's origin story, Doctor Strange, small scale. And then it's cosmic universe because it's Guardians right after that. And then it's Thor, so it's more cosmic stuff because he's supposed to be in Asgard with Hulk the whole time. Or somewhere in the outer limit stuff, somewhere in the cosmic plane.
Right.
It's not going to be Earth-centered, you know. So you're looking at three or four movies before we really have to have any aftermath.
Oh, that's crazy.
From Civil War.
I don't know if it's going to happen this soon, especially knowing all that. But I still just have this feeling that Steve's going to die at some point. I think they're going to do that. I think they're going to kill Cap.
I'm sure they will at some point. It's just, does it happen now or does it happen in the Infinity stuff?
Exactly. Or, that's what I want to know.
Or what?
So. Crazy. I'm excited though.
Yeah.
Great trailer, and that's just it's insane. Like this Civil War trailer, and now this Batman versus Superman trailer, and we're like a little over a week away from freaking Star Wars.
Oh my goodness.
Oh geez, there's just so much amazing stuff on the horizon, and we're gonna dive right into Star Wars before we know it.
Yep.
I can't believe we're
This is our plan.
Yep.
Is to tape one more on probably the 16th.
Yep.
And that'll be a Star Wars centered episode.
Yes, yes. We're going to try
new stuff, old stuff, whatever we know.
We're just going to talk Star
Wars.
We just want to sit down and have a nice Star Wars discussion right before the movie comes out. So we're going to try to shoot that and record that that same week, a couple days before, maybe the day before the movie comes out. And I'll try to get it edited and put online right away so you guys can listen to that. And then what I want to do is, because we're going to see one of the opening night shows on Thursday, the 17th.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to take my portable recorder with us, and we're going to try something fun, and we're going to record a podcast from the theater. Not during the movie while it's playing, but what I want to do is I want to record...
Those would be some angry nerds.
Yeah. Hey, listen to this. You guys, I wish you could see this, but listen to it! We're going to record some stuff from the theater in anticipation for the movie, and then as soon as the movie's over, we're going to jump right on the microphone and record like our immediate reactions to the movie. And then I'm going to put that up that night, so we have like instant... like reaction to Star Wars available for everybody to listen to. And then once we have some time to kind of maybe see it a couple times and gain, a little bit of composure, we'll sit down and do a proper episode where we can really talk about it.
My guess with the holidays is the review episode will probably be early January.
Which is why I want to do this,
exactly.
one that I'm doing. So.
And we should put a disclaimer up there, like you said. This is something new we're going to try. So if the audio comes back garbled and garbage and we don't have anything to upload, we'll apologize on the Facebook page, and that's all we can do at that point. But this is our goal.
That's our plan.
That's what we're shooting for.
That's our plan. Oh, real quick, too, I wanted to throw a quick plug out there talking about Star Wars. If you guys are listening to the podcast and you hadn't heard this yet or you hadn't seen anywhere on my social media, I actually got a gig writing for StarWars.com, which is... super exciting. I can't believe that I'm doing that. So, mind blown. So I've already written two articles for them. My second one just got posted this week. I was really happy to be able to write this article. I pitched the idea and they loved it. So I was really happy. I kind of got to write basically about like my experiences discovering Star Wars as a kid and how I am now passing that down to my kid.
Mm-hmm.
So just a fun little piece. I would really appreciate it if you guys went and checked it out and shared it. Share it on Facebook, share it on Twitter.
Yeah, tell everybody.
They're
great pieces.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And get them out there. I just want more people to read them because I want Lucasfilm to see that they made a good choice in asking me to write for them. I want to see that people are reading my stuff. So and definitely give me some feedback on it. My articles basically have to stay pretty toy-oriented because they have several writers and they all kind of have their specific train of thought, and obviously I'm a toy guy, so they approach me about writing about toys. So I have to stay, I think, mostly kind of focused on modern toys because they already have a vintage toy guy. So that's what you'll have to expect from me most of the time, but I like talking about toys, so it's very easy to do.
Sort of your thing.
Sort of my thing. So yeah, definitely check it out. Just StarWars.com, you can search for me and you'll find my articles on there. Be very cool if you guys could check it out. So I think that right there is going to wrap up the show for the day. As always, I want to remind you guys that there are multiple ways that you can check out this podcast. Of course, the full audio version of the podcast is available on several different formats, including iTunes and Stitcher for you Android users, and also available on Podbean. If you have the Podbean app, you can listen to it through there as well. If you guys are listening on any of those, especially iTunes, please subscribe and give us a rating, because if you review the podcast on iTunes, the more reviews we get, the more we are able to actually move up in the rankings so people can find us. So yeah, give us some 5-star reviews, or just, you know, write a review for us. We would appreciate it regardless. Just say something cool about us. How about that?
5 stars.
5 stars.
Do they go by stars?
They are. Yeah, iTunes. It is. It's like a star rating thing, and then you're allowed to actually like type up a review as well.
Cool.
And I think once you get to so many of those, that's when iTunes actually puts you in the rankings. And once you're in the rankings, I mean, people will be able to find you a little bit better. So yes, that's why we ask for the reviews. The more of those we get, the better. And then, of course, if you're a video person, we also cut up the show into segments and upload them to YouTube. So you can also just do a search on YouTube for Geek Easy Podcast, and you can find us that way. If you guys have topic suggestions or questions, especially since next episode is all about Star Wars, if you have any questions for us about Star Wars, about when we first discovered it, what our favorite thing is in Star Wars, what our favorite movie is, what our favorite toy is, whatever.
Our favorite Jar Jar scene.
Favorite Jar Jar scene. Send us questions about Star Wars. You can do that on our Facebook page. Just search for the Geek Easy Podcast or go to facebook.com/Geek Easy Podcast. That'd be the best way to get questions for us, and we would love to answer them right here on the show. Any final words from you, Jonathan?
Nah, man, I'm just blown away by all this new stuff, and now I gotta go catch up on 2 shows.
That's right.
As you quickly as possible.
Go watch Jessica Jones.
Yeah,
stat. And I'll try to start watching Arrow.
You're so far behind.
I'm so
You're 100 episodes.
Oh, no, that's bad.
I know.
Oh, man, that's awful. All right, guys. Well, until pre-Star Wars, I'm Pixel Man.
I'm Jonathan Lennon.
Take care, guys.
The Geek Easy Podcast is a production of PixelDan.com. Musical tracks used in the intro and outro are used with full permission of the respective owners or creators. Intro and outro narrations are provided by me, Brian T. Stevenson. Any animated series discussed are copyright their respective owners. PixelDan.com's The Geek Easy Podcast is provided for entertainment purposes only. The views expressed are those solely of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily represent those of PixelDan.com or any other party. Be sure to join us next time for another installment of the Geek Easy Podcast.